Thank you, Brother Charles, for leading this opening. I told him if I led both openings and spoke, the folks sick seeing me, so appreciate you doing that, brother. One announcement first. Georgie has updated our new, it's 2019 chapel directory, so it's going to be out in the foyer next week or so. It'll be left out there. Make sure everything's right. Check your name off, okay? Check your name off if everything looks right, and then it'll go to print, as they said, so keep that in mind. What a song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Appreciate Brother choosing that song because, as Jonathan reminded us, that we were sinners without hope, but in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness of sin. It is always good to hear the gospel and how God is still saving souls. So we look forward to hearing more from time to time about lives that were changed. I guess my message could be entitled God's Order of Things, or God's Order, or what's in a number? Numbers are a huge part of our lives. I'm sure we'll all admit that. I did a recent Google search, and it showed over 547 million references to numbers. The number, and I hope I won't bore you with some of these facts, but the number is just this, a mathematical object used to count, measure, and label. And if we search God's Word, we find all these in the Bible. We see that numbers are used and very important to God to count things, to measure things, to label things. As we consider various numbers, let our focus not be so much on the number, but what the topic reveals to us about what is in God's Word. And I'm thankful for various studies we can do. As Jonathan said, God's Word is so available today. Man is truly without excuse because it's so easy. If you have a dollar, you can buy a Bible. Many places give them away. It's on the internet, it's on the TV. And I'm thankful that the Lord's given us many ways that we can consider His Word. We read it, study it. But sometimes, and I find it helps me to do word studies. And I'm so thankful for the brothers that have the biblical word dictionaries like W.E. Vines and Zodiates. We could do a topic. Take the word grace. We've heard much about grace today. Or love. Look up those words. We know they have several meanings. Of course, love is probably the most one that's used the most. Love can mean friendship, phileo. Or that self-sacrificial love, agape. We find that word love in "For God so loved the world," John 3:16. So you can do studies with topics, with words, and with numbers, as we'll see. And I was led to do that for the next few minutes. Hopefully, it's an interesting topic to talk about, but more than that, that we are directed to God's Word and to just see how it speaks to our hearts as we go through these different examples. Of course, the Bible was originally written without chapters or verses, but I'm thankful for these because of these chapters and verses, it makes it so easy when we're studying or looking up a verse to find. It'd be very hard without that. We're able to go to a verse of Scripture very quickly when it's needed. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, "Let all things be done decently in an order." And numbers certainly help us keep things done in order. And also different measurements of time, days, months, years, and we'll see a few of those references as we go on. Turn to Mark 6:40. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ is heaving use numbers to do things decently in an order. And of course, this is a familiar portion. It's the feeding of the 5,000. Mark 6, we read that starting in verse 30. But then go to verse 39, we read this. "And he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. So here we see the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself incarnate. He did everything decently and in order so many times. This is just a small example of that. When we think of numbers, let's go back to the beginning. Go to Genesis. Genesis 1. For I believe God is the one that instituted, well, life itself and the world we live in and so many things. But he instituted numbers as well. And I don't know when the last time you read the creation account. It's just wonderful to read. So let's just go through this and we'll read the Genesis 1:1 and conclude the first part of chapter 2. So just follow along and enjoy as we read God's word and consider his creation. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. The first recorded number, the number one. What I like about this verse is it says, so the evening and the morning were the first day. You've probably heard over the years, and I have as well, that some believe, they may believe the creation story, but they don't believe it was seven actual days, 24-hour days as we would think of them. Some believe there were millions of years between each of these days, but here we have it so clear. The evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided it from the waters which were under the firmament, from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and he gathered together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seeds according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in it itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Here we see his division right from the beginning, assigning different lengths of time. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And that's always grabbed my attention. He made the stars also. If you've ever done any studies or anything about the galaxies, there's billions and billions. I don't think we have a number high enough to count how many stars there are, but just one little phrase, he made the stars also. To me, that's awesome. Verse 17, God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, so the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26, here's where we come in. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living creature, living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw it, everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because of the rest from all the work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. What a blessing to be reminded of God's wonderful creation. We've seen from the beginning that God used numbers to assign the days of the week. According to the Hebrew and traditional Christian calendars, Sunday is considered the first day of the week. Man has assigned names to the day of the week. And again, this is man. According to the International Organization for Standardization, fancy word, the ISO, the first day of the week is called Monday, the seventh Sunday. And it goes further. These names were given, the names given speak of various celestial bodies, those in the heavens, and Germanic gods, those with small g, of course. Listen to this if you've never heard this before. Saturday was after Saturn. Sunday after the sun. Monday after the moon. Tuesday after Tui, or T-I-W's day. Wednesday after Wooden, or Wooden's day. Thursday after Thor, or Thor's day. You can see where they came about these names. Friday after Freya, or Freya's day. You can see why many refer to Sunday, especially those brothers and sisters, as the first day of the week, as God named, not as man named. Also, the first day of the week is when we remember our Lord's resurrection. We've had privilege once again to gather to remember him in his appointed way. In John 20, verse 1, we read this. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Hallelujah. We also pattern the church that was established that way. Acts 20, verse 7 speaks of this. Now the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them, and continued his message until midnight. Now that's funny because I know when we go a few minutes over for lunch, people complain, but what if we were here till midnight? That won't happen with me. Lastly, the word Sunday is not even in our Bible. It's referred to as the first day of the week 8 times in the New Testament. With the days, consider also the months and the years. and how God gives them numbers. Again, we're thinking about his overall order. He is a God of no confusion. He is a God of order. We read this about the years and different things that are labeled in Genesis 7:11 and Genesis 8:13. I'll just read that. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So here we have days, months, and years mentioned. And then it reads this, as it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark, we were just talking about that, and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. God saw it important to label these things that we would know the things truly did happen, decently and in order as we're to follow. We even have a book of the Bible called Numbers, don't we? Numbers 1:1, we read this. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of meeting, on the first day of the second month in the second year, after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take a census of all the congregation of the children of Israel by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, every male individually from 20 years old and above, who are able to go to war in Israel. You and Aaron shall number them by their armies. Here we have the first census ever taken. Notice, done on the first day of the second month, everything in order. It's clear from his word, God's word, that numbers are very important. Numbers in the Bible are said to have divine meaning. It's a study called biblical numerology. You may have heard of that. There again, I appreciate the way I can look into word studies, get a deeper meaning in the Greek and Hebrew, because I don't speak Greek and I barely speak English and Hebrew. Forget it. But the numbers, topics, words. But here we see a study of numbers. Various words are used for numbers. And biblical numerology basically is a belief in divine or mystical relationship between a number and one or more coinciding events, how they line up. So a few numbers to consider, and hopefully, again, this will direct us to God's word, not so much on the number, but what it speaks of. Number one speaks of unity. There's other ways to describe this, but this is just one that I came across. Number two speaks of union. Number three, perfection. Number four, totality. Number five, we've heard much of today, grace. Number six, the number of man. Number seven, perfection. Number eight, new beginnings. Number nine, the fruit of the Spirit. Number 10 speaks of law and other things. Number 12, authority or government. As we consider a few of these, we'll see the relationship between them and what we find in the Bible. Number one, unity. God is three in one, the Holy Trinity. We know that Christ made a way for us to be reconciled to God. Jonathan reminded of that as we considered God's word. One sacrifice given once to redeem fallen mankind. And even now we have one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who ever lives to make intercession for us. 1 Timothy 2:5 says this, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Numbers are important because what if Scripture said there are 15 ways or there are many ways, but there's just one way, the way, the truth, and life, as we're reminded of. Christ spoke of us being one. Turn to John 17. John 17, down to verse 20. I was thinking earlier, back in the 70s, there was a musical group called Three Dog Night. Some of the older ones may have heard of them. Good harmonies. They weren't too outlandish as far as the music, but they wrote a song called One. And one of the verses said, one is the loneliest number. that you'll ever be or ever do. But we talked about being lonely. And we can be lonely when we're by ourselves, but knowing for the Christian that God is always with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But read this and see what it talks about the one. Anything else but being lonely. John 17, verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but for all those who will believe in me. That's a blessing as well. We're mentioned there. All those who will believe. All those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. So what a blessing to know that one with the Lord is so much more than what the world considers that solitary one. We truly have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And as we look around and we see the church, we're one body, again, united by the Spirit, our faith and trust in Christ. One is not a lonely number when it comes to God. Think of number three for a minute. The number three is found over 460 times in Scripture. Many threes we could look at and study, and that's sometimes, just take a number and see what goes with that number. It's a wonderful study. Three, we can think of the three righteous patriarchs. Before the flood, we think of Abel, Enoch, and Noah. After the flood, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Think of the time of tribulation that the Bible describes after the universal church has been caught up to be with the Lord. We read of three plagues or judgment during the tribulation. The first half, 3.5 years, and then the great tribulation, another 3.5 years. 7 years, God's wrath is perfected. The three judgments, the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, each with 7 parts. We could be reminded how Christ prayed 3 times in the garden, how Christ was nailed to the cross at the third hour, which is 9 a.m., how there were 3 hours of darkness from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, 12 o'clock, noon, the highest, brightest part of the day, to 3 p.m. Some have described it as darkness that could be felt as the Lord paid the price for my sin and yours. We can think of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 says, Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Christ died, he was buried, he rose again. Threefold. And then we go to number 5. We think of grace. We've sung about it this morning. Appreciate that. God's goodness or favor toward us. Grace is mentioned over 200 times in the Bible. Probably the most well-known verse, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, says, For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace has been described as God's riches at Christ's expense. Just to focus on these words, the number leads us to grace, and grace leads us to God, as we think of how that Christ for our sins became poor, that through his poverty we might be rich. The one who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. What riches we have because of God's wonderful grace. The first use of the word of grace is in the Bible. And that's another interesting study. Look at the first use of words. Sometimes it'll speak to your heart. Genesis 6, 8 says, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We can think of Noah's family. Before their sons married, there were 5. Here we're thinking about the number 5. The first 5 books of the Old Testament are called the Torah or Pentateuch, given by God, written down by Moses, speaks of God's law. In those we read 5 types of offerings that were mentioned in the Old Testament. Offerings that God demanded his people or Israel to bring him. The burnt offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the grain offering and the peace offering. Again, speaking how man was under the law. We can be thankful that we live in God's age of grace, his goodness and favor towards us in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking of us, we go to the number 6, speaks of man. Man was created on the 6th day. Men are appointed to labor 6 days and on the 7th rest. A Hebrew slave was to serve 6 years and the 7th he was to be released. We could even think of Satan, the lawless man. Revelation 13:18, his number is 666 as we read. Then we come to, leaving that, we come to perfection. The number 7. The number 7 listed over 700 times in Scripture. Of course, 7, perfection, speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, we have 7 titles of our Lord. Hebrews 1:2, he's heir of all things. Hebrews 2:10, he's captain of our salvation. Hebrews 3:10, he's apostle. Hebrews 5:9, the author of salvation. 6:20, the forerunner. 10:21, the high priest. 12:2, the author and finisher of our faith. 7 titles, perfection, speaks of the Lord. 7 is used 54 times in Revelation alone. Revelation 1, verses 4 and 5, we read that it's written to the 7 churches in Asia from the 7 spirits of God in Christ. Jonathan mentioned the last age, the lukewarm church. Many believe that it speaks of various churches' ages, and of course the last being how the church, for the most part, is complacent or lukewarm. And we wonder if this, speaking of all the 7 churches, then and now, the loveless church, the persecuted church, the compromising church, the corrupt church, the dead church, the faithful church, and the 7th, the lukewarm church. We can be thankful that we are in God's age of grace, and every day gives us new opportunity to begin anew. You know, it's been said that Christians aren't sinless. They should just seek to sin less. And I'm so thankful for 1 John 1:9. And I think we forget sometimes that it was written to believers. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have a chance for a new beginning, not just every day, but sometimes every hour. New beginnings, number 8 speaks of that. Again, we think of Noah and the ark. God saw that man and the world was wicked and worthy of destruction. But again, Noah found grace in God's eyes. Think of Noah and his wife. And when he had their 3 sons, 8 were spared from the flood. Again, a new beginning. The ark is another interesting study. There's one door, of course, Jesus Christ is that door, the one way. The ark's described for Noah in great detail. And its measurement's very interesting. I shared this many years ago, but the length is mentioned is 300 cubits or 450 feet. Its width is 50 cubits or 75 feet. And its height is 30 cubits or 45 feet. This ratio of 30 to 5 to 1 is said to be the most seaworthy vessel or boat design ever conceived. One is called the Ark, the Flawless Float. Hard to say. The Flawless Float. Flawless because it was designed by the master builder himself. As we think of Lord Jesus Christ in that number 8 again, he showed himself 8 times after his resurrection. And again, 8 is another number given to the Lord Jesus Christ, our new beginning. When we think of number 10, speaks of the law. The first law given by God, 10 commandments. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but when you get angry, you should count to 10 before responding. I've heard that for years. And I always thought, perhaps, because if you review God's Ten Commandments, and if any action you're about to do breaks any of those commandments, don't do it. Nike said, just do it. God says, don't do it. So perhaps it's just to get us to wait. But anyway. 10, the number of plagues and judgments God brought against Egypt when the nation of Israel was to be set free after 400 years of bondage. 10th is also something that speaks of a tithe or 10%. You all familiar with that? We get the example of tithing concerning Abraham and Melchizedek. And for the, I won't read that, but you know that story. Melchizedek is a type of Christ, priest, king of righteousness, king of peace. 10 is also equated to testimony. In Genesis 1, we read that God said 10 times. God said 10 times. The final number, 12, can be found in 180-some places in the Bible, used when describing that great city, the holy, or the New Jerusalem. 12 gates, 12 foundations, 12 precious stones, 12 pearls. Other uses, 12 apostles, 12 tribes of Israel. The first recorded words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 2:42, when he said, I must be about my Father's business. It says there that he was 12 years old. So that's what I'm getting at. These numbers aren't just a number. You can look at them and see how it just develops as you look at different things. Same thing as word study, same thing as a topic. Main thing is just to get into God's word, as Jonathan reminded us, to seek daily to be more faithful. God uses them throughout his word for order, description, and information for us to consider. Numbers are a huge part of our life. Again, Google searched 547 million uses of numbers. But what is in a number? The most famous verse in Scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. 3 reminds us of God, the Holy Trinity, the Father not willing that any should perish, the Son who came to seek and to save that which was lost, and the Holy Spirit which was sent to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Number 3, the one of John 3:16, there's one way to the Father, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross of Calvary. And the number 6 in 3:16, the number of man, by God's grace and Christ's sacrifice, and our admission of our need and repentance from that sin, we can be redeemed, made fit to be in God's presence. May the numbers used in God's word help us as we consider him. Not just the numbers, the study of God's word as we consider his wonderful truth. So I encourage you, pick a number, pick a topic, pick a word, pick a person. Of course, Jesus Christ would be the most beneficial study. But we have Paul, we have so many. God's word knew that we would need encouragement to continue to study his word. And I think through numbers and different things that he established, we have that wonderful opportunity. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your precious word. And Lord, I thank you that there's so many different ways that we can consider it. Follow these patterns and as numbers go throughout the word or a person or a topic, but all directed to draw us closer to Lord Jesus Christ and to understand your eternal plan and to better equip us, Lord, to be faithful servants, to share your good news. We thank you for the beautiful day you've given us, a time of worship. Again, for the songs that have talked about your grace. Thank you for Jonathan's message on salvation, reminding us, Lord, that we can be free from the penalty of sin. And as we seek your will and your word, as we're guided by your Spirit, we can be free from the very power. But one day, Lord, praise God, and we thank you, we'll be free from the very presence of sin. We look forward to that day. But help us to continue to seek your word and be more like Christ. Lord Jesus Christ said, learn of me. Lord, as we read your word, we truly learn, Lord Jesus. We thank you also for the food that's been prepared and our fellowship to follow. Pray, Lord, it'll be a blessing. Thank you again for this another day that you've given us. And for every good and perfect gift that comes from your precious hand, as we pray this, giving you thanks in our Savior's holy and precious name. Amen.